Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. My name is Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie.
And this is Mark Vila from Coleman & Company. And today we're here to talk about you versus the competition, battling bigger business.
Yeah, and honestly, one of the reasons that we did this, we actually are doing this podcast for two reasons. First of all, our original podcast, which was, what was the name of that?
The Custom Apparel Startups Podcast?
No. Our original episode.
We had you versus the competition.
Right. And what we talked about in the original episode was we talked about how to be unique.
Yeah.
You know, and how to use the personal touch kind of, and not to be afraid of that competition. What we're going to talk about today is specifically battling the big guys. Because you may be in a market, like let's say you're in the Tampa Bay area, and there are a few solo practitioners or small businesses that do direct-to-garment printing. But there's also this entry into the market from the really big printers, like Cafe Press and Zazzle and Ooh Shirts. I've even heard radio commercials about some of these companies.
Yeah.
Just on my way in.
Yeah, absolutely. There are companies that have, they've got a warehouse in Atlanta that can do some of the fulfillment, and then they've got their main warehouse maybe in Tampa.
Yeah.
They've also got a place in Indiana that can do, if you're doing more than 10 color shirts.
Yeah.
You know, it's these businesses that may have started small just like you, but they've grown to a point where they can have a little bit more power to do things you can't do as a really small business.
Yeah, and if we were doing the how to compete as a big business, we would encouraging you to gobble up all the competition.
Yeah.
By expanding into new markets.
Right. Spend money on ads that you know you can afford to do and take a risk on.
Maybe,
you know,
on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the opposite of that, though, is that most of our customers are small shops. And most of our customers are not Cafe Press or Zazzle or big screen print shops or anything like that. You're usually a one or two machine or one or two person shop that is trying to compete against these big behemoths. And luckily, there are very effective things that you can do to beat these guys, even if they may offer a lower price.
Yeah. Well, so what we could just start kind of, I think, maybe bullet point it out a little bit, tell a little story about some of the different things you can do.
Yep.
But why does somebody choose, you know, to do business with you and maybe not with a big business? So that's kind of the way I think about that is,
right,
why is somebody going to want to buy an embroidery work from me, even though I may only have a single head or a forehead or a single head and a forehead, versus being able to go down the shop, or maybe they can get that done cheaper or not, you know, is the other question.
Yeah, online.
You know, or go online and do it. So for one, the thing that we talked about in the other one, and to reiterate, is that it's just the personal touch that you can actually offer. That when you're talking with somebody, and you can look, you know, I'm the owner, proprietor of this business.
Yeah.
You're going to be dealing with me. You know, my son prints shirts with me.
Right.
You know, he just graduated high school, whatever it might be.
You've got a personal relationship.
Yeah, you've got a relationship. And you can build with that. It makes people feel good to do business with you if they like you as well.
And there are a couple of different kind of approaches that you can take with that. What I used to do in my consulting practice was, you know, I would introduce myself and we'd be talking about a job and someone would do it cheaper that's a bigger company, and my line would always be, do you want to be somebody's smallest customer or do you want to be somebody's biggest customer? Because you'd be my biggest or one of my bigger customers. What kind of customer service, how important do you think you're going to be to my business versus if you order your shirts from Cafe Press? They don't care about you.
Yeah.
You know, they're making a bajillion dollars a year. If they lose you because you're not particularly happy or they get an order wrong, and I'm not saying that they would do these things, but it's certainly the case that you can make. Say, look, I mean, you're going to be my biggest customer. You're the most important thing I'm doing right now. Is there anybody else that can say that? and that'll mean something to some people.
Yeah, and when you also when they know that they're directly affecting you as a person, as a and as a business.
Yeah.
So you can say, you know, if and this, I think these pitches are a little bit of the. I don't have anything else to say because they can do it faster and cheaper, and it seems like you have.
We're going to get to that.
We'll get to that. This is what I consider kind of your hardest effort, and then maybe as we start telling this easier things. But this is the hard one, is because they might be able to do it faster and a little bit cheaper, and maybe offer more options that you can't do because they have, you know, a laser puff cutting machine and
laser puff cutting machine.
I don't know if that's a thing.
I don't know. It could be.
But. So what we really mean by it is literally what you're saying to them is, I'm a small business owner, so are you, or I'm a small business owner, and if you do business with me, I'm really, really going to appreciate it. I'm going to do whatever I can to help you, like down, you know, to my last breath on this. I'm really going to take care of you, and it's really going to help me.
Yeah, there's this kind of, and that's almost two things, is, you know, you're asking somebody else, especially if they're a small business or a local business as well, you're asking somebody to contribute to what you're doing. Say, look, you know, I'm a small business, I'm a family-owned business, I don't know if you are yet, you know, we'll talk about that, but, I mean, this is it. Like Mark said, you know, I've got my kid works for me, he goes to this school, you know, I don't know where your kids go to school, but, you know, we're kind of in the same place.
Yeah, we're in this together. And I'll tell you how I can prove to you right now that it works.
Okay. Go ahead.
So have you ever had a kid, usually between 12 to 18 years old, try to sell you magazines before?
Oh, yeah.
At your door or on the street or the baseball field? What do they say? Do you know what they say?
No, I always shut the door in there.
Shut the door. I'm sure you do. Okay, but I know you're going to know what they say when I say it, and then some people are yelling it right now as they hear this. I only need to sell like 5 more magazines, and then what are they going to get?
Right.
You know, they're going to get like a trip or a vacation, or we're going to get to do if I sell 3 more. And the reason why that they're coached to make that pitch, even though it's impossible for it to be true of all of them, is because somebody's going to say, you know, I don't really need this magazine. I would enjoy Popular Mechanics, but whatever. And I don't really want to spend $20 on it, but I'm going to help this kid go to Disney, and he seems like a nice boy. Of course.
Yeah.
You know, and people will do that all the time. You buy popcorn from the Boy Scouts at $20 a bag.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous, you know, but however, like, you're like, hey, this kid's a Boy Scout.
Another good example, that very close to home. So I don't buy Girl Scout cookies.
Really?
But when...
I'm surprised.
When our sales manager brings his two adorable little girls through the office selling Girl Scout cookies, then I buy Girl Scout cookies.
Really? I threw candy at him and ran.
Did you really? And that's because it's that same thing. Is because I know this, because, you know, we're in this little community here.
Yeah.
And you do things to help each other out. You know, you do things that, you know, that just help.
Yeah.
So, and that's what you're kind of doing, is you're kind of saying, hey, we're all in the same place. We're all in the same town. We all do the same things. You know, let's help each other in business. And you can definitely look for opportunities to reciprocate.
Yep.
You know, if you are looking at a contract to do shirts for a local university or a local college, you know, you can say that, you know, you'll be there at events, say, or, you know, I go watch you guys play football.
Yep.
You know, if it's a plumber or if it's some other kind of a service business, then you can definitely say, you know what, you are my plumber. And if anybody asks me, I'm going to point them to you, towards you, because you're wearing one of my shirts.
Yeah. And I think these are the times where you sit down and you just let creativity kind of flow in your head on how you can reciprocate differently.
Yeah.
So you can say, you know what I do because I'm a small business owner and I try to work with people who are part of my community and network and such. So what I do is I have a little Ziploc baggie, and anyone who orders more than 30 shirts, I put this little thing in there, and it's got like 6 business cards in it. and it's got a plumber, it's got a roofer, it's got an electrician. It doesn't have an AC guy. You'll be the one, you know. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not asking you for much more, but all I'm asking you is two things: like, do business with me, and please refer me as well.
Yeah, I love that. And you know what? That's a conversation that somebody at XYZ Screen Printing Factory is not going to have.
Yeah, because more than likely they have a salesperson.
Yeah.
And they're going to be dealing with a salesperson that may have even cold called upon them. You know, they didn't outreach or find them.
Right.
And that salesperson is literally just making the sale for a paycheck, and it's not necessarily their business.
And even if you do get to talk to an owner or management of one of the bigger companies, then, I mean, their outlook on business is going to be completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Because it may not make any sense, financial sense, for them to spend 30 minutes on the phone with you.
Yeah.
Helping you figure stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
He's losing money if he's doing that, and he's running a big operation where you're making money that way. So, I mean, you can make this personal touch by describing how important that job is to you, and that they're going to be your biggest customer,
mm-hmm.
and if they buy from somebody else, you're going to be their smallest customer, okay? And you can also do it with that neighborhood kind of a feel.
Yeah.
That reciprocal kind of, we're all in the same place, you know, I'll recommend you, you recommend me, and that's a real way. You know, if you can send somebody, let's say somebody's going to save $3 on a shirt, and they're ordering 100 shirts. They're going to save $300. Well, I mean, if they're a service person, a plumber or a lawn guy or something like that, one referral will make them $300.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a real ROI for them to do it as well.
Yeah, and oftentimes when you really break it down, it's not even there.
Yeah.
You know, so if it's a lawn service, he maybe has him and three guys that work for him.
Yeah.
There's four guys. They want a shirt for each day that they work, and they work 6 days a week. You know,
yeah.
They're busy. So whatever that math works out to, it's less than 50 shirts, I think. I don't know. I didn't actually do the math, but four shirts.
Yes.
Times six.
Okay.
That's like 300.
It's 24.
Times. That's it.
Okay. That's 24 it. Shirts.
24 shirts.
Okay.
So it's less than 50 shirts.
Okay.
You know, and maybe they'll get some extras. They get one, you know, for the person who answers the phone if they have
an
office manager. And they want for maybe, you know, whatever it might be. So this order's 50 shirts times a couple dollars a shirt. It could, the price might not be ridiculously different. And also, it might literally be 9 shirts. And then that's, I think, where we go into the next one, is you get to be nimble.
Yeah.
You know, as a business owner, that's a smaller, more compact business owner, that you can actually do a 9-shirt order comfortably.
Yeah, and not only can you do a small order comfortably, but you can change it comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, picture yourself if you've ever ordered, you know, placed a big order of anything in your business. You know, if you order 50 anything or 2 anything from a big company, imagine changing that order and what that process is like.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to call, you've got to get a change order. That person may, you know, have to talk to their boss. They have to requote it. You know, they've got to work out new shipping prices, and they've got to, you know, they've got to do all of these things. And it may take a day or more for all that stuff to happen.
And we have big customers where they have, you know, they've got the art department, even if it's only one person, you know, they've got the art department, they have a shipping department, and their business might be small where these are all single person departments. But when a customer wants to change something, it's got to go from salesperson to art to
production. You got to talk to 5 people.
Yeah, they got to, and the salesperson doesn't want to do that. He's going to want to talk them out of it. You know, there's a mess involved in that. So you do have that nimble movement.
Yeah, that ability to change stuff on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah, the analogy often used is, you know, the cruise ship versus, you know, the like a compact sport boat.
Okay.
You know, you can turn right away whenever you want. You know, as a small business owner, you know, you're a small boat. You can move whenever you want. A cruise ship, I've known nothing about it.
It takes a lot of planning.
Yeah, I know nothing about it,
right.
But I assume that it's not like any cartoons I've seen where they spin the wheel fast and they turn around.
No, they do. They can spin the wheel fast.
Yeah.
But it takes about 25 minutes to turn around.
Yeah, so, and that's how it is with a big business.
Right.
So you've got the ability to turn that wheel whenever you want. And you could tell customers, like, along the process, all the way. I'm going to make sure you're completely satisfied. So what I'm going to do is, like, we're going to pick out these shirts and we're going to order them. If they come in and you don't like them, you can change them, and you can have policies on what you do.
Yeah.
You know, you can say, if you change your shirts, I'm going to have to pay another shipping fee. You know, so you'll, you know, you might have to endure that, but it's no problem. You know, all I want you to do is cover that.
Yeah.
You know, and we can change your shirts 4 times if you want.
Yeah.
You know, as long as
it doesn't matter, you
can say these things to your customers to make them happy. And as you create artwork, you know, you are working with them this whole way. Compared to a bigger business, they may be dealing first with the salesperson, and then they might be dealing with somebody who handles art and production.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to get a hold of the person who's shipping because they don't want them shipped anymore, and they want to pick them up.
Yeah.
And you, as a small business owner, they get to call you and say, hey, can we just meet at, you know, McDonald's instead, yeah, you know, in the parking lot and just swap them that way? I'm running errands today.
Yeah, I mean, you could be on the phone with some, oh, yeah, you want to change those shirts? No problem. It'll be an extra $15 in shipping. I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Okay? Good. Bye.
Yeah.
That's the conversation.
Yeah. So you've got this nimble movement as being the small business owner, and where the big business might not have that.
Yeah.
So for one, you're just going to run into it where it's actually going to happen, and you're going to get business because somebody calls and asks, you know, hey, can you do 9 shirts for me? And I actually want, like, 4 this way and 5 this way.
Yeah.
And you're just going to be able to say, sure.
Yeah.
You know, not a problem. Or you say, normally I only do 24, and then go back to part one of this podcast. Normally I only do 24, but, you know, that park that you're doing this, like, Little League for, right down the road from my house.
I love that.
I'm happy to do this for you.
Yeah.
You know, so then you get to build kind of part one and part two together.
Yeah. And that kind of leads into part three.
Yeah.
Which is taking advantage of the features of you and your equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the big shops, when you think about big competition, especially in the embroidery field, you know, somebody, a shop that has got, you know, 5 or 10, 12 head or 4 head or 6 head embroidery machines has had those machines for a while. Okay, they've made a big investment. They have a lot of overhead, and they're kind of stuck with the limitations of those machines when they bought them. So, for example, The sewing field on an Avance embroidery machine on a 1501C is the biggest in the business. So, and it is naturally larger than the sewing field on any multi-head.
Yes.
So what that means is that if you want to sell against a big business, then all you have to do is convince them to make a bigger design.
Do something that you know is going to be harder for that other business to do.
That's a much better way to say
it.
Do something, you know, based on your capabilities that another business can't or won't want to do.
Yeah, and we talk about that in other things in regards to mixed media.
Yeah.
You know, as well, just to kind of reiterate back on that, if you do spangles and you do vinyl cutting and you do embroidery, you offer a mixed media that's got all three, and you just narrowed down your competition to maybe 0 in your area.
Yeah.
Compared to if it was just the vinyl, there might have been 8 people. That could have done it.
And I'll talk about the Cold Essie stuff. If you've got an Avance, you've got the ability to do a bigger jacket pack than 90% of the other people that are going to be interested in that business. If you've got a DTG M2, you can do a 16 by 24 inch image.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Yeah.
You know, where anybody that's doing screen printing will never do that. They just won't. You'd have to order 1,000.
They have a very specific machine for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, that's very, very specific that a lot of screen printers don't own.
And if you want to do, you know, if you want to offer somebody 3 small shirts with a design on it and 5 medium shirts with a bigger design on it and some extra large shirts with the biggest design on it, then you can do that based on the equipment that you own. Most of the people that you're up against, most of the big companies especially, just can't do it physically. So then you're kind of using not only your local presence, the fact that you're going to be, that they're going to be a big customer for you, but you're also using the fact that, hey, on top of all that stuff, I can do things that nobody else can.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's one of the funnest things for me. I was going to say when I talk about being able to outsell your competition like this. So if you if it's you with a direct-to-garment printer, for example, versus they're looking at somebody else who is a screen printer, the first thing that I'd say to do is immediately rack up the amount of colors and the design however
full you color. Can. I think we should put a photograph of everyone you've ever met on the front of that shirt.
And or just say, they said, we're going to do black letters here, and we wanted to do blue letters here, and we wanted the logo here. Say, I like that idea. Would be really cool is let's do like a gradient from from black to blue, you know, or do stripes, you know, or something to that effect. Let's do a pattern. Why don't we do like blue camo?
Yeah.
You know, in the letters. And that'd look really sharp. And then for the women, we'll do pink. Well, same exact design, pink camo. You just took, you just jacked up all the colors in the design. And it's going to cost a lot more in screen printing. So then they're going to go get the screen print. And the screen printer is going to have to unsell colors.
They're going
to
say, well, I could do that, but it'll take me 3 weeks to burn the screens, and it'll be a $600 setup fee or, you know, whatever it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. So you can sell things your equipment can do, and educate yourself on what that is if you don't know it already. And that doesn't necessarily mean reading all the documents that come with your equipment, but it means figuring out what your competition can do. So you've got to call them up and ask.
Yeah.
Or have somebody do it for you and say, I want to do some really big jackets. I want to kind of oversize the design. What's the biggest size that you'll reasonably do without, like, making these, you know, completely unaffordable for me? And they'll tell you, like, oh, well, for a jacket pack, we, you know, about a 10 by 10. Yeah. And then you're like, I could easily do a 14 by 12.
Yeah.
No problem.
Right.
Boom. Like, write that down. Call up the screen print shops. Ask them what the color, when, how many colors can I do on a shirt before it gets unreasonably expensive?
Yeah.
And most of, they'll tell you based on the press they have.
I love
a
that.
A four idea. Color, a six color.
I love that.
So I find all that out. The same thing with if it's rhinestones, you know, like find something to ask about that. If there's size limitations, and customization limitations are the other one.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about t-shirts for, like the lawn company, you might want to put the name on every shirt.
Yep.
Find out what it would cost for your competition to do that.
Yeah.
And you have a direct-to-garment printer. All you're, you know, what you're doing is you're flipping the shirt over and sending a different name over when you click print the next time.
Yes.
If it's a screen shop, they're having to do something much different.
Yes.
For that,
it's another screens, process, or it's another.
Yeah, it's another or they're cutting vinyl with that.
Yeah.
Or maybe you just own multiple pieces of equipment that you can do that then. I'm doing vinyl on the front.
And I'm going to brag a little bit because some of the products that we have at Colbessi are very different from the competition, that we do a particularly good job of showing that. So, you know, if you've got an M2 direct-to-garment printer, then you can print standard a much bigger area. And we show that by having a, you know, a 16 by 20 piece of wood that we put on top of our DTG printer in our videos that shows what all the other DTG printers can do. And it makes it look small. Makes that print look small. So if you know that the average screen printer, they're going to do a 10 by 10 or a 10 by 12 image, then do a bigger one and have a display of those things right next to each other.
Yeah.
Or talk about that difference. If you look at our Avance comparison article on comparing the top five commercial embroidery machines, you'll see a graphic illustration of the difference in the embroidery field size and how much a reasonably sized design looks like a postage stamp next to the big one that you can do with the Avance. So those are just a couple of examples of ways that you can, and even today we're videotaping a tech talk on combining direct-to-garment printing and vinyl.
Yeah.
So that's another, that's that mixed media approach where no one else is going to offer that or show that ability. So that is a killer against a big company.
And you've got to just find out, you always have to find out what you're up against, no matter, you know, no matter who you're up against, no matter how big they are, no matter what processes they offer, you know, there's always something you have to give up in order to be able to do something else. That things operate in economies.
Yeah.
So that really large business might have all of that equipment, but what, you know, what is it that they can't do? You know, what is, so you've got to find those things out.
Absolutely.
And you've got to do your homework on figuring out just what, know who they are, know what they can't do. And then when I sold embroidery equipment, the biggest thing that I did that helped with my success is I knew everything about all the other machines.
Yeah.
I wanted to know everything about them. So
yeah.
I knew about what all these brands of machines did. And then when somebody would call me and they would talk to me, based on different things that they would say, I would already know who they spoke to if they spoke to one of my competition.
Right.
Because I know the words they use. I know how they sell.
Yeah.
And so if somebody calls up to you and they say, well, I've got a four-color design, and, you know, you start, okay, why do they care how many colors it is? It sounds to me like they've talked to a screen printer.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know that I can, I do digital garment printing, so I'm going to immediately say, hey, okay, well, hey, you know what? You have a four-color design. I want to let you know we can play with that.
Yeah.
Don't worry about those colors.
Yeah, I don't care about the color.
Yeah, whatever. Like, whatever. We can play with that. So if you had some thoughts, you know what? Don't worry about that now. When we go to talk about artwork, I'll give you some of my creative insights too.
Yeah.
But we can do whatever you want with colors. Don't worry about that. And immediately, you know, they're just saying, okay, well, that's one less thing
that's
to worry
different.
About.
Yeah.
You know, that's different. So I think these are all some things you can do. Is there anything else we want to add to on...
The only thing that I kind of want to end with is, you know, Mark and I just kind of brainstormed on these ways to beat a bigger competitor. And, you know, it's the personal touch. It's, you know, being in the area. It's making that connection. It's demonstrating your flexibility. It's using the advantages of your equipment versus somebody else. It's knowing what those competitors are going to say. And we kind of did all that right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of ways that you can that you can compete. And what I want you to take away from this podcast is that you don't have to be afraid of any of these competitors.
Yeah.
If you are running up against somebody that's on the radio or a big company that's taking out a newspaper ad or a billboard or something like that, you should be excited. Because they're going to generate interest in getting stuff done. All you have to do is be on the other end of the phone and be in touch with those potential customers. So somebody that calls you and says, I really need this number of shirts and I've got this price, or I'm thinking about talking to these guys, that's great because they want to buy something and they want to buy something soon.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a lot of ammunition in your quiver to be able to grab that business.
Yeah, and it's... there are just also, with everything, there are going to be times where you're not going to get the business and you let it go. And that's okay. You can't...
I never let that go.
Yeah, you got to let it go. You can't spend your time focusing on like that one client that you lost to the and let it get and let it make you angry. And all it's going to affect the rest of your day in a negative way, and it's going to affect your business in a negative way.
Yeah.
It stinks to get the phone call, like, I'm sorry, I know we've been, I told you I was going to do business with you,
but
I'm going to save $200 if I go here, and I know you told me you couldn't match that price, and I'm sorry, but I literally have a $500 budget for this, and with that extra $200 I'm going to save, I'm going to have to order some caps.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. You know, they might be nice like that. They might also just not return your phone call.
Right.
You know, and ignore you completely, even though they told you yes, and they just stop it. You know, they just ghost out on you. So whatever it is, just let that go.
Yeah.
Like, there is somebody else that's going to wish they did business with you sooner than later, and there's going to somebody else that's going to shake your hand and be like, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
I don't like going to that big shop. I just feel like... I don't like ordering online. You know, when I get them in the mail, it never seems to be what I really wanted.
Right. So, I mean, here's what I would say is stop listening to this podcast as soon as we're done. And then go find a new biggest customer. You know, find the guys that are ordering from these big shops and tell them why they should do business with you instead.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a good way to make more money.
Yeah, and I still think the first thing that we named, you're going to be surprised. When I talk to sales, when you talk to salespeople, and there's nothing, people, how am I going to put this? When you're trying to sell something, okay, if they know that you're making money off of it, when at certain store, when you go into a store and you know that the salesperson is making a commission, you know, and they tell you just like, hey, I would love for you to buy this because
this is how I make my living.
Yeah. Exactly. And the same thing, this is how I make my living, and I try to be as fair as I can on prices, and I would love your business.
Cool. That's a good way to end.
Yeah. It feels good.
All right, everyone, thanks very much for listening to another episode of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. Find us on CASpodcast.com. Join us on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group. And above all, go out there and have a good business.
Thank you. It's Mark Vila here. And as far as our pitch, you know, I'd love for people to go to our website, ColemanandCompany.com. C-O-L-M-A-N, if you don't already know us, but ColemanandCompany.com, and check out a bunch of the stuff that we have, because I'll tell you what, we're not a massive side business. There's not 300 of us.
Yeah.
We're a nice small team, and this is what we do for a living. And we've given you this podcast for free because we'd love for you to come and buy some business from us, buy stuff from us, whether it's thread or rhinestones or backing, and sometimes my backing can't be as cheap as a wholesaler. It just can't be. I don't sell a 5,000 meter.
Right.
So we'd love that business from you, and give us a call anytime. We'll be happy to help you.
Great. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.